all good works. As we were observing the Lord's table today, we focused on the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those elements, they represent his body. They represent his blood. They do not become his body. They don't become his blood. God's body is not with or around these elements. God's blood is not with or around these elements. It is a memorial. A memorial service, it's a representation of what the body of Christ is, what the blood of Christ is, so that we can remember his death. There's no leaven whatsoever in either the bread or the juice. It's unleavened. Leaven is a picture of sin. And it is wrong to have a memorial of the sacrificial death of Christ on the cross using elements that contain leaven, whether it's the bread that has leaven, or if it's the juice that has leaven, or if it's both. That's a destruction of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He is the perfect, he's perfect God, and he is perfect man. And there's no sin whatsoever in him. In Philippians chapter 2, the scripture says, "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus." Let this mind be in you. In order to have the mind of Christ, you must first know Christ. We have to understand. We must understand the fact of we. If we want to have the mind of Christ, we said we're commanded to. The scripture says, "Let this mind be in you." My question today for you is, are we abiding by this? Let the mind be in you. What was the Lord Jesus Christ, what was in the Lord Jesus Christ's mind in eternity past? Because we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the eternal Son of God. We believe in the eternal sonship of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not become the Son of God at the incarnation. Because he's perfect God and perfect man. He shares all those attributes that God has. And what was going on in the mind of Christ, which we don't know the mind of Christ, but the scripture says, "Let this mind be in you." We know some things. Are we going? God made this creation. 6 solar days. He made this creation. Everything we see. Sun, stars, all the things we see. The sky, the grass, the trees, the flowers, the fish, animals, and everything else. In just 6 days. And when Adam fell, it was no surprise to God. But he made Adam, he made us with the ability of with choice, the ability to make choices and decisions. And Adam chose to sin. After which time Adam chose to sin, God knew exactly what he was going to do. He knew exactly what he was going to do before Adam was going to sin. And the fact that because he knew what he was going to do before Adam sinned doesn't mean that he made Adam sin. Adam was responsible for his own sin. And the scripture says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Christ Jesus, if we were an outside observer, which we are, but we're not. One would say, he gave up everything to redeem us. Now, when I say gave up everything, as far as his standing glory, his position in glory, He didn't have to leave the splendors of glory if he didn't want to. But the mind that he had, his decision that they had, were to come, he came. He came to die. God was manifest in the flesh. He became human. The mind of Christ was a mindset of not being selfish, of being very sacrificial in giving up his standing in glory. Now he didn't. When he came to earth, when he was here in this earth, he didn't become any less God. Because as we know, he's perfect God and perfect man. But the scripture says, let this mind be in Christ, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. We have to start thinking like the Lord Jesus Christ thinks. Sometimes we think the way we want to think, and our thoughts are not his thoughts. So what we want to do, we want to appropriate, we want to get God's thoughts in our mind. Now, an aspect of the thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see here in verse 6, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, we are not God. Matter is not God. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. But the idea of being in the form of God. The Lord Jesus Christ was in the form of God before he came to this earth. He's eternal. The Holy Spirit's eternal. God the Father is eternal. God the Son's eternal. All three are equally eternal. The three in one, the Trinity. The scripture says, who being in the form. The idea for form is not that it means anything, it means something. The word's morph. Who being in the form of God. The same form of God. He is God. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. And anyone that says he is not God is a teacher of heresy. He didn't become God. He didn't take upon a Christ principle at the baptism. He's always been God, and he always will be God. And when we think of the death of the cross, it's the who the Lord Jesus Christ is very important. There are people that think of the Lord Jesus Christ as being some historical figure, or a good man, or a prophet. There are people that acknowledge his existence as far as someone that lived on this earth, but they stop short at acknowledging the fact that he is the living Son of God, God incarnate. And when they deny that, anything that happens after that on the cross means nothing to them. But the fact is that if he is God, if he is God in the flesh, We must come to that realization that the cross means something. If someone denies the deity of Jesus Christ, the cross means nothing to them. If someone believes that the Lord Jesus Christ was just a good man, or just perhaps a prophet, or however he's described in their mindset, if they limit him to just being a mere human being, then the death of the cross is meaningless to them. They misunderstand and they're misapplying principles of the scripture. Now, they have a right to decide what they want to believe. God has given that choice, just like he gave Adam a choice to do what was right and do what was wrong. All because they deny that he's the Son of God doesn't mean he's not the Son of God. All because they try to minimize what happened on the cross of Calvary does not minimize what happened on the cross of Calvary and in an empty tomb 3 days later. There are people today, popular people today, that say that they do not need to have any, they have no sin to confess. Which is a sad state, a sad condition. We need to pray for people like that, that their eyes would be opened. If they're relying too much upon their own wisdom, their own financial resources, to understand the fact that the scripture says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Scripture says, who being in the form of God, in other words, he's God, he thought in that robbery to be equal with God. What does equal mean? Equal means it's the same thing. One equals one. You know, think of algebra. You know, we have all these problems and we have to make things equal each other. That's a math problem. To a far greater extent, in the heavenly scope of things, we have here that the scripture says it was not robbery. He thought in that robbery to be equal with God. Now, if this guy over here or this gal over here says, I'm equal to God, which sometimes they do, sometimes he says that, sometimes she says that, that's robbery. They are not equal with God. But when the Lord Jesus Christ says he's equal with God, it is not robbery, because he is God. He is the only one who can say that. He is the only one that can say that. We think of going back to the burning bush. When the Lord Jesus, when Moses was there in the desert of Sinai, in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent you. In Revelation, chapter 1, verse 8, Scripture says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. In John, chapter 8, verse 59, they took up stones to stone him. Why? Because he made himself, he said he was God. And they didn't misunderstand a word he said, those Pharisees. They knew exactly what he said. He said he was God and he was God. But because of their lack of faith and their blindness of hearts, they were going to stone him for this. Any other person that made himself God, yes. That was the proper penalty. But they didn't misunderstand a word he was saying. But yet they closed their hearts, they closed their minds, and they rejected the fact that he was God. But yet the scripture says he thought in that robbery to be equal with God. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is God. We're supposed to have his mind. We don't have the mind of the world, which we're fighting this battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil every single day. There are things that come into our life that we want to get us distracted, get us away from where we should be. But the mind of Christ, his mind, his whole objective of coming to this world was to redeem us, was to sacrifice for us. And we're told, let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought in that robbery to be equal with God. And in verse 7, we have more description, but made of himself of no reputation. He made of himself of no reputation. When we think of the people in our lifetime, people we've read about in history perhaps, or people that we may know, they have this aspiration to acquire a reputation. Now, certain aspects of reputation are important. But when we think of reputation, it's going beyond as far as having a certain level of prestige. When one makes himself of no reputation, they make themselves lower. They make themselves anonymous to a certain point. Not that Christ was anonymous, but as far as in prestige. He did at the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, he came. And his birth was in a manger, in a stable, out there in the fields with the animals, and to a lady who perhaps may have not been anyone special, other than the fact that she was chosen. That makes her special. She was chosen by God to be the vessel that he chose to use to give birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, even though she was the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, she still was a sinner. Just like she was still a sinner. Nothing special, nothing extra special about Mary. Yes, she was needed. But she is not God. She's not the mother of God. She cannot intercede for any other person. Any people that have died before us cannot intercede for us. The only one that can intercede for us is the mediator. And the mediator is Jesus Christ. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only mediator. If we want to talk with God, we don't talk to our dead relative. We don't talk to Mary. We don't talk to any of the saints, so-called saints of the institution of Rome, or as I sometimes refer to, the pagan institution of Rome. We don't talk to them. If we're going to pray, we don't confess our sins to some guy in a telephone booth. We confess our sins directly to God. We're in a whole new system. The Old Testament is passed. Old Testament sacrificial system has passed away, and now that we're in this time period of grace, and that system will be resumed for a short period of time for 7 years in the tribulation, but we're in the age of grace. We are in the age of grace. He made himself of no reputation. In what form? Here we have the word form again. Morph again. He took upon the form. He was in the form of God. He remained in the form of God. And now he took upon him the form, morphe, the form of a servant. He didn't take upon himself a form of a king, a form of some important nobleman here on this earth. He took upon himself the form of a servant. You've heard the word doulos before. He took upon himself the form of a servant. And how was he made? He was made in the likeness of men. The likeness of men. That's the likeness of mankind. The generic word for man there. He was made in the likeness of men. Think how insignificant we are in the whole scope of things, by comparison. When we have God, the eternal God of the universe, how we can't even describe his expanse. The world, you know, the scripture says just the things that Jesus Christ did, the world cannot contain the books of what he did. Now, if the world can't even contain the books of what he did, just think how of him, his own glory, his own expanse, of how he limited himself in the sense of taking upon human flesh. I mean, what would we think if we can't do this, but if we become a little ant, a little spider, or a little gnat type of thing? That's we're far insignificant as far as he became this. He's in the form of God. He remained in the form of God. He took upon himself a no reputation. It came in the form of a servant, and he says he was made in the likeness of men. As we said, God was manifested in the flesh. He was made in the likeness of men. He was made in our likeness. Why? Why was he made in our likeness? Because there was a plan. The plan was we, Adam, sinned. We were in Adam when he sinned. There's two views. There's seminal headship and the federal headship. Scripture, in part time, sometimes indicates that both, you could argue both from Scripture, perhaps to certain extents. But I am more comfortable with looking at the seminal headship. This is how we got, how come I'm a sinner? Why am I a sinner? Is it because Adam's federal headship or is it because of seminal headship? Now, sometimes we want to pick both, but we have to pick one or the other. See, federal headship, think of the federal government, he was a legal representative of us. That's federal headship. So he was legally representing us there in Eden, and so consequently, his decision was our decision. Okay, that's true to a point. But I go beyond that, or maybe I go beside that, or however you want to say it, in what's called seminal headship. As far as how did we get this name? Seminal headship says, think of the seminal meaning seed. Well, he not only represented me, but I was actually genetically inside Adam. I was in him. And not genetically is not quite the right way of saying it. Yes, I was in him genetically. But as far as the decision, I was there with him when he made that choice. And so consequently, we made the choice unanimously to sin against God. Now, the only person who has no earthly father is the Lord Jesus Christ. And since he has no earthly father, see, that's the sin nature comes from the father, from the man, from the male side. And consequently, since he has no human father, he wasn't there, seminally. He's omniscient. Yes, he was there because he's God. But he wasn't in Adam. He was not in Adam, seminally. And so, consequently, there's no sin that's passed on to him. He's his God. He took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. The scripture continues in verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, again, this is the generic word for man, the fashion is a man. He's found in the fashion how man is created. He's found in flesh and, you know, just like a person. A regular person, but he wasn't just a regular person because he didn't surrender his form of God when he took upon the form of man. He was perfect God and perfect man. And the scripture says, and humbled himself. If it wasn't humbling enough for him to take upon himself the form of a servant, the form of man, by making himself of no reputation. If that wasn't humbling enough, it says, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Now, even if we stop there at death, but it says, then it continues, the scripture continues, even the death of the cross. So, we have himself, he's humbling himself, he's becoming a servant, and then he's obedient to death, and then we have a specific type of death, the death of the cross. It's not natural death. Of course, we know on the cross that Christ gave up himself willingly. He's the one that decided when he was going to die. It wasn't those Roman soldiers that nailed him to the cross. They're the ones that physically put him on the cross in with hammer and nail. But ultimately, you know, we see in other parts of Scripture that the Jews have a responsibility. They can't pass the buck down and say, oh, it's the Romans' fault. If it had not been for the Jews' intervention and Jews' insistence, the Romans would have let the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Now, let's not just stop at the Jews for a moment. I mean, we have different aspects of who put the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Okay, so we have someone that physically nailed him to the cross. We have somebody that was instrumental in pushing their influence upon the Roman government to get him on the cross. But then, what was the whole reason why Christ came? We see here he took upon himself the form of a servant. He's God. He's equal with he's in the form of God. He's in the form of man. Perfect God, perfect man. He's in these two forms. But you see, the reason why he came, the reason why he was manifest in the flesh, was because of Adam's sin. And remember, seminal headship? We were in Adam. It's because of our sin. That was the reason why he came to earth to die. He came to earth. You know, he came in his own received them not, but as many as received them, that them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. The Lord Jesus Christ, he found himself in the fashion as a man, That's the word generic man there, anthropos. And humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. A horrible way of dying. But yet it was a way that was used by the Roman government. Fulfilled the purpose of capital punishment. And because the Lord Jesus was obedient, because he took upon himself the form of a servant and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, because of this, we are reminded in verse 9. There's a wherefore in verse 9. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him. Now, we have the Lord Jesus Christ coming to this earth. He's taken upon himself the form of a servant. He's not changing. He keeps the same form of God. It's not robbery for him to be equal with God. It's the same form. And he takes the form of man. So he's perfect. He's perfect God. He's perfect man. And he comes to this earth. He takes upon himself the form of a servant. And Scripture says, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Obedience. Let this mind be in you, which was also Christ Jesus. Part of the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ was obeying the plan of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is perfect man, perfect God. And there's aspects of theology that we cannot understand. We could try to explain it, but really, we can't completely understand it. But the obedience. How many times, when Christ was confronted by the Pharisees, did he restrain himself from destroying them? The restraint that Christ had. He became obedient. He left himself. He voluntarily disused some of his attributes when he was on this earth so that the objective of redemption could take place. See, judgment's coming still. Judgment's being reserved for later on. We have the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when he became flesh. Lord, he was always God. He was always God. He's eternally the eternal sonship of God. He's always the eternal sonship of Christ. He was always God. But he took upon himself flesh at the incarnation. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, and because of his God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. See, until redemption was complete, the name of Christ could not be exalted as it is today. See, as I was saying earlier, we have the first coming of Christ. He came as an infant, as a baby. He grew into a baby. And yet at the second coming, not the meeting in the clouds, but the second coming. Some would say the second phase of the second coming. When he physically returns to this earth, that's a time when judgment an aspect of judgment will take place upon all those that have rejected him, that are living on this earth. And those who are not living on this earth, there's a judgment taking place right now that have rejected Christ, and there's yet a future judgment that's going to be taking place after that 1,000 years, which we're not in the 1,000 years. We're not living in the kingdom right now, as I said earlier. We're living in the age of grace. God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. Christ's name is exalted. Now, there are people today that want to put other people's names in the place of Christ's name. No matter what, who it might be. They want to take Christ's name away, and they want to put someone else's name where Christ's name belongs. Wherefore, God highly exalted him and given him a name above, it doesn't say some, it says above every name. And how powerful is this name? That at the name of Jesus, not at the name of somebody else, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every knee should bow. You know, in the next verse we see every knee is going to bow, every tongue will confess. So we get knees bowing, we have tongues confessing. Every knee should bow. Now it tells us where these knees are. Knees, we all know what the knees. Knees are part of our legs, leg system. We got our, I don't know, they're between, you know, they're, this is a knee. Every knee should bow. Now, it tells us the location of things in heaven. So, if you're in heaven, those people that are in heaven, our loved ones who trusted in the redemptive work of Calvary, who are in heaven today, their knees are going to bow, if they're not bowing already. Of things in earth, that's where we are. Every knee here on earth, if the Lord Jesus Christ returns at a certain point in time, every knee should bow. And further goes further, of things under the earth. Those people who have died outside of Christ, their knees will bow. So it's in heaven, and things in the earth, and things under the earth. Again, this is the only Lord Jesus Christ. People today want to exalt themselves above Christ. They want to discount who Christ is and what Christ has done. They want to deny everything about the gospel. They want to have things done their own way. Sadly, they believe in a salvation of good works. A salvation of good works, which is wrong. Scripture continues on, because he's highly exalted, and because he's given a name above every name, not only will every knee bow, but Scripture says in verse 11, every tongue should confess. That Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Every tongue, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And this is all because of the death of the cross. Apart from the work, redemptive work of Calvary, if Calvary never took place, none of these things could happen. But because Calvary is taking place, because of what Christ has done for us upon Calvary, upon the cross of Calvary, then redemption could proceed. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the Messiah. Some people, they're still looking for a Messiah. Their eyes have been blinded to a certain degree, to a large degree. And we are told that we are to have his mind. And there's all different aspects of this. We think about it a whole lot. We mean, how can we have the mind of Christ? You know, we're thinking about the death of the cross. We observe the Lord's table today, how Christ died for us. We're trying to remember this, about what he did for us. You know, God, the Lord Jesus Christ was in the form of God. He still is. And he is God. He's equal with God. We're not equal with God. But when he became flesh, he made of himself no reputation, took on the form of a servant. See, do we want to be servants in the true sense of the word? Well, we should be. This is part of the mind of Christ, being a servant, being obedient, wanting to serve. And part of being a servant is obeying. So the two go hand in hand, kind of. Form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Okay, so we are already in the likeness of men. We have the sin of Adam. That's still part of us. Even if we're a Christian, born again Christian, we still have the sin that's still within us. We've been redeemed by the blood of Christ, but that sin is still there, although we have been redeemed. So it's a matter of, well, we don't have to obey the old man anymore. We can obey, follow the new man, and walk in the newness of Christ. And so we have to turn and can trust completely in him if we're going to have the mind of Christ. If we want to remember the death of the cross, we have to be appreciative of all that's been done for us. And we have to start continue to acknowledge the fact of what has been done for us upon the cross of Calvary. Because there's coming a day. There may be people today that are here, or people today that are viewing this as the sermon, either right now or later on, that have not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And the Scripture says every knee will bow. Every knee will bow. So there's going to come a time when we, if we're part of the church, if we're born again Christians, Christ can come back at any moment. It's called the imminent return of Christ. And we must be ready for that return. We must be ready for that return. Be any moment of rapture. And we will see the resurrected Christ in the flesh. We'll be in our flesh. He'll be in his flesh. The exalted Jesus Christ, who has a name that's far above any other name, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today, I encourage you to be encouraged the fact of if you're redeemed, if you're born again Christian, we have eternal life with Christ. It starts right at this moment. But we also have to appreciate the fact that we're told that rather having the minds of others who look at other people's things that they want, we must have the mind of Christ, who was obedient and who was a servant. He died on the cross. He was entombed for 3 days and 3 nights. And that third day, he rose from the dead and is seated at the right hand of God, whereby he makes intercession, where he's making intercession for us. So when we pray, we're praying to our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray to God. We pray in Jesus' name. The one who died for us on Calvary's tree. Father, thank you for the word of God. Lord, we ask that you would allow us to have the mind of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank you that he is perfect man and perfect God. I want to thank thee that we are reminded that we must be obedient as he was obedient, and we also must be a servant. Father, we do ask that thou would allow us to be conformed to the image of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Please take your hymn.